In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Virgins, Saint Joseph, Saint Veronica Giuliani, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God loves stories with happy endings. How do I know that? Because if you ever read the Bible, it has a happy ending. And if you look at what God intends for each and every one of us, he intends for each and every one of us to get to heaven. He likes happy endings. He likes stories that end well. And in the story of Joseph that we've been hearing in the first readings in the Old Testament, you know, Joseph had quite a lot of bad things happen. You know, his own brothers sold him into slavery. He experienced many trials and difficulties in Egypt, being in favor and then out of favor, being tested by God in many ways. But being away from his family for those many years, them thinking that he was dead. And then, of course, we see, you know, Joseph gets the opportunity to have revenge on his brothers. But he instead has been being faithful to God all those years, recognizes God's hand, working through even the bad things that happened to him, and becomes reconciled to his family. And we hear, of course, in the reading today, him being reunited with his father after so many years, and the joy that must have been both in Joseph and Israel's hearts in meeting each other after so many years, and bringing a happy conclusion to the story of Joseph and his brothers and the whole events there. But God does love happy endings, and if there's any sad endings, it's because we failed to cooperate with God's grace. We will, at the end of our lives, if we have a happy ending, it is because, of course, we've been faithful to God and his plan for us. If we have a sad ending, it's because we didn't cooperate. We failed to see God's hand working in our lives and failed to obey his will. That's really the key to happiness in life, is obedience to the will of God. Even when God permits something tragic to happen, that evil is visited upon us and we have nothing, have no power to do anything but remain faithful to God, even in the midst of trials and persecutions, God will bring about a happy ending. And we see that constantly in the lives of the saints who remain faithful under trials and difficulty. Our Lord is reminding of us of this in the gospel. You know, I'm sending you out into the world like sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, there's a lot of wolves out there today in our society who would love nothing more than to devour some Christians, some faithful Catholics. But he tells us to be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. This is really what our Lord is telling us in the gospel today, is a good rule of thumb to follow throughout life. He says, beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. But he reminds us that he will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be there to testify for us. For that's first and foremost the Spirit's purpose, you might say. One of his greatest duties is to testify to Christ, to point out Christ to all around. No one can say, Lord, Lord, except in the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit is the first prophetic witness to Christ. And he is the one who is going to speak through us and use us to give testimony to Christ if we're called into court or called under trial or persecution to testify to Christ, to remain faithful to that calling that we have received. And our Lord in this gospel really is telling us that we should not be surprised that today in 2015 that you will be hated by all because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved. In other words, whoever remains faithful will have a happy ending. It will all go, all this that is happening in the world, God has permitted to take place, and is all under his divine providence. And what we must do, though, is also remember that in his providence, he has given us all the graces that we need to remain faithful, to live out our Christian vocation, to be saints. And, of course, we know that there's going to be trials because we have to prove our love to our Lord. It is necessary for us to be tested, because otherwise, without the test, there's no evidence that we truly have exhibited any virtue. A virtue is only a virtue if it's put to use. And a virtue has to be tested to see if there is virtue there. Otherwise, it just remains in potency. It doesn't become an act. We don't know we have patience until it's tried. We don't know if we have charity until we have to exercise it many times, you know. We give many opportunities to either respond unkindly or kindly to people. And then we see where we stand and what virtues we have acquired. So it's only proper that our Lord should allow us to be tested. And of course, obedience. We obey commands and obey the teaching of the church. That shows that we are truly obedient. If one says, I'm obedient and never follows the teaching of the church or the commands of the church, there's no obedience there. It's not. There's no evidence of it. So God has the right to test us to see if we truly are what we claim to be his followers. Today we celebrate St. Veronica Giuliani, a great virgin saint in the Franciscan order, a poor Clare nun. I'll just share with you what is in the Book of Saints about St. Veronica today, because you'll find the same characteristics of any saint, someone who was tested and showed forth God's power because they remained faithful to him. St. Veronica was born at Mercatello in Urbino, Italy in 1660, of a well-to-do family. Though she was a very religious person by nature, her father insisted that she marry when she became of age and paraded suitors before her. This so worried the girl that she became ill. Only then did her father realize the genuine character of her vocation and allow her to enter the Capuchin convent of Poor Clares at Città di Castello in Umbria at the age of 17. She was to remain there for the rest of her life. After her profession, she had a vision of Jesus bearing his cross, and she began to feel acute pain over her heart. In 1693, she had another vision in which she was offered the chalice of Christ's sufferings. When she accepted it, after a fierce struggle, her body and soul ever afterward carried the marks of our Lord's sufferings. The next year, the imprint of the crown of thorns appeared on her head, and on Good Friday in 1697, the impress of the five sacred wounds. As a result of these mystical experiences, she became the object of close vigilance on the part of her superiors and the competent religious authorities. Thus, though this caused her much distress and suffering, it also ensured that her mystical experiences were well attested, making her an outstanding case in the history of mystical phenomena. Her humble obedience convinced all of the truth of these mystical experiences. St. Veronica was also possessed a large dosage of common sense and an admirable degree of admirable degree of efficiency. She was novice mistress of her convent for 34 years and diligently laid the foundation for the sisters under her charge to progress in humility, obedience, and charity. She became abbess 11 years before her death and labored for the improvement of the convent, even in its physical entity. She died on July 9th, 1727, leaving behind a catalog of her religious experiences entitled Diary of the Passion, written at the request of her confessor. She was canonized in 1839 by Pope Gregory XVI. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.